The epistle to the Hebrews has been compared to a puzzle, like one of those 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles that take ages to complete. I think this is partly because people like to take individual verses from this book and quote them aside from the context, to use them as proof texts for doctrines that are unbiblical. Now, doing this is like taking a single piece from a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and claiming to know what the puzzle looks like without, you know, having seen the box. Other people have trouble following the logic behind this book, again, usually because they don't see the entire book in its context. Now, I do not think that this book is impossible to interpret correctly, but I also know that it can be challenging to follow. And it's partly because of the mystery surrounding the authorship of the book of Hebrews. Now, nobody really knows who the author is, and anybody who claims to know for sure is probably delusional. Personally, I find discussions about the authorship of books of the Bible a little bit tedious and unnecessary at times. After all, it doesn't really matter to us as Christians. We have already committed to a view of the Bible as the infallible and unerring Word of God. So it doesn't really matter who the human author is. We know it's God's Word. However, for some reason, knowing who the author is, who the human author is, helps us to understand the writings, you know, what they're saying, a little bit better. We can place that book, you know, within the scope of history, I think, as human beings. It just helps us to understand what the author is saying, if we know who it is. Now, I'll just say from the outset that my own view is that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I think the evidence tends to point to Paul, and that's the traditional view anyway. So I'm just going to say that from the start. As I said, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference in the grand scheme of things. However, in this case, I think a Pauline authorship fits better with the overall theme of the book, and we'll see that later on. And so the first thing that we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at some evidence that points to Paul as being the author, and also some evidence that Paul may not be the author of the book of Hebrews. And you guys can make up your own minds. Firstly, and I've got some references there on your outlines, the author of the book of Hebrews was in prison. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. So you can turn there quickly. Hebrews 10, 34 says, "For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." That's put forward as an evidence for Paul being the author. We know that Paul was in prison. We know that very well. We can nail that down in history. So that's a point for Paul. Second evidence is that he was a companion of Timothy. The author was. Hebrews 13, verse 23. Again, you can turn there real quick. Hebrews 13, 23 says, "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you." Sounds a lot like Paul to me, writing that. Now, the book of Hebrews is obviously written to Hebrew Christians, showing that the author had a deep concern for his countrymen. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul also had a passion for sharing the gospel with Jewish people. Wherever he went in his missionary journeys, he would first go to the synagogues. He would preach in the synagogues first and then go to the Gentiles in that place. Now, we see this this concern of the Apostle Paul's in Romans chapter 9 and 10. Really, so if you can turn there to Romans chapter 9 and verses 3 and 4, we can see the Apostle Paul's very deep concern for his Jewish brethren. Says Romans 9 verse 3 says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Verse 4, it says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. So again, it's a very deep concern, very passionate. The Apostle Paul is to reach his Jewish brethren, and to, you know, he's concerned about their welfare, that they get saved, and that they go ahead in the Christian life. And so again, that points to a Pauline authorship of the book of Hebrews, because it's written to Hebrews for that purpose, so that they go ahead in the Christian life. Another evidence is that we know of very few other first century believers who had as much education in the Torah as Paul. He admitted himself, you know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the Old Testament back to front and inside out. Now, the book of Hebrews must have been written by someone with at least as much education as Paul. The only other person perhaps that we know of who had this kind of background is Barnabas. If you quickly turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 36, and again, this kind of doesn't jump out at you when you're thinking about Barnabas, but Acts chapter 4, verse 36 tells us who Barnabas was. It says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, so his Jewish name, his Hebrew name was Joseph, or Joseph. Was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. So he was a Cypriot Jew and a Levite. So he would have had a good knowledge of the Old Testament. So Barnabas could have been the author of Hebrews as well. And indeed, none other than Tertullian, the early church father, names Barnabas as the author of Hebrews. So he just straight out says, no, it's Barnabas that wrote Hebrews. However, another early church father, Clement of Alexandria, thought Paul was the writer of Hebrews. So they kind of cancel each other out. You can't take one's authority over the other. They're both saying different things. And Clement says, but now, as the blessed presbyter said, since the Lord, being the apostle of the Almighty, was sent to the Hebrews, Paul, as sent to the Gentiles, on account of his modesty, did not subscribe himself an apostle of the Hebrews through respect for the Lord, and because being a herald and apostle of the Gentiles, he wrote to the Hebrews out of his superabundance. So, Clement's saying that Paul didn't give his name in the book of Hebrews because, he was being modest, I guess, and he didn't want to offend the Jews as well. So even though the beginning of Hebrews doesn't sound like Paul wrote it, the end of the epistle does. Now, this I hope this doesn't take too long, but turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll read verses 18 to 25. Now, this is the end of the epistle. So we read the first chapter, and it just kind of jumps straight into the subject matter. No introduction or anything like that. But listen to the end of Hebrews. The last few verses there. It says, from verse 18, it says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come surely, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And then written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. So that's the end of the epistle. And it does sound like something that Paul would write. Especially if you compare it to some other passages in Paul's epistles, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Um, 13:18 sounds like 2 Timothy 1:3. So I've got all these things on your outline. We won't go through them all in the interest of time, because I know I'm going to run out of time already. So you can study them out at home. But basically there's a lot of similarities between the end of Hebrews and some of the writings of Paul. Now, there are also quite a few doctrinal similarities which are notable and are evidence that Paul may have been the writer of Hebrews. And I've got them, again, they're listed there in your outline. The preeminence of Christ, so in chapter 1, and of course we know that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 to 19, that's very prominent there. Divine gifts and miracles, similar to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians 12. The humiliation of Christ, there in Hebrews 2. And of course, we know from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, it's quite similar. Use of Israel's wanderings as an example, Hebrews 3, 7 to chapter 4, verse 8, and compare that with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. That's very similar. The temporary nature of the old covenant in Hebrews chapter 8 and is similar to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the emphasis of the faith principle. In particular, Habakkuk's declaration that the just shall live by faith is quoted in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. So that's evidence of Paul being the author. Now, the opposing arguments against the Pauline authorship of Hebrews, probably not as numerous, and look, I didn't research this as thoroughly as I could have. Most of this stuff is from Pastor Wenham in Condell Park, who taught in Bible College, and so I got a lot of these examples from him. But there's a lot of other evidences as well if you really want to research it. And we've touched on some of these earlier. But there is no salutation at the front of Hebrews, at the beginning of Hebrews. We see that in every other epistle of Paul. You know, he starts off, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and such to, and he addresses the readers. Now, some say that Hebrews did have a salutation, but it was lost. But I don't think that's a very good argument. I don't think that's a very good way to put it, because it does raise questions about the permanence of Scripture and its inspiration. If something is written and then is lost, I mean, it's kind of an argument from silence, I guess. There's no evidence for that, is what I'm trying to say. Also, people say that the style of writing in Hebrews is very different to the style of the writing in Paul's epistles. And that's certainly true. It's hard to pick that up in the English, but the scholars say that the book of Hebrews is written in the highest form of Greek. If you like, it's the upper class Greek. You know, it's written by a very educated person to very educated people. Whereas Paul's epistles are written in the most common vernacular style, almost a lot of slang in there. He cuts words off. It's kind of like comparing a Shakespearean sonnet to a Slim Dusty song. You know, very, very different. Different audiences, different styles there. But since Paul was highly educated, he could have written Hebrews. You know, it's not to say that just because Paul wrote normally in that very easy to read common style, that he couldn't kind of, you know, raise the bar and, write a very, very educated book. Okay, it's just not his usual style, is what everyone's saying, and that's true. It's not his usual style, so that's possibly a point against Paul. Another argument against Paul is that he was the apostle to the Gentiles, but as we saw, he would go to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. He had this passion to reach his fellow Jews. Another point against Paul is that one of the central themes of Hebrews is the high priesthood, which is not found anywhere in Paul's other epistles. And this is used as an argument against Paul writing Hebrews. And lastly, all the Old Testament quotes in Hebrews are from the Septuagint. So the Septuagint is basically a Greek translation of the Old Testament. That's what they used in the like Jesus' time, in Paul's time. That's just what they had. Not a great translation, but it's quoted a lot in the New Testament. So all the Old Testament quotes in the book of Hebrews are from the Septuagint, whereas in the epistles, Paul uses both the Septuagint and the Hebrew, or the Masoretic text. The other difficulty we find when coming to the book of Hebrews is that it doesn't read like a normal epistle. And that's because it isn't a normal epistle. So it's not just like one of Paul's letters, okay? It's different. And if you read it from start to finish, you'll see that. It's not like one of Paul's epistles if you compare it. There is evidence from within the text that it was written to be read as a sermon. I think I'll touch on this later, that it was first preached as a sermon, and then someone transcribed it as the author was preaching, and then it kind of turned into a letter. And so this may be why the style is so different, if in fact Paul was the author. Now we find this internal evidence in Hebrews 13:22, which we read earlier. And you might still be there, so just have a quick look at Hebrews 13:22. This is internal evidence that what we're reading here in the book of Hebrews is, in fact, a sermon, and not an epistle as Paul's other epistles. Hebrews 13:22 says, "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words." The phrase I want you to focus on here is that phrase, "word of exhortation." Okay. Now, turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 15, please. Acts 13, verse 15. Where this same phrase is mentioned. Acts 13, 15. It says, "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them," that's Paul and his company, "sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Verse 16, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said," and then he goes on and preaches. So the same phrase is mentioned, this time in the context of a sermon in the book of Acts given to the Jews in the synagogue, with numerous quotes from the Old Testament given by Paul. And now Hebrews follows the same pattern that we see in Paul's sermon in Acts 13, where an exposition of Old Testament principles is given using quotes from the Psalms and the prophets to get to the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that Paul was the only one who could have used this pattern to write Hebrews. I'm just saying that it's similar to what we see in his sermon in Acts. And so we need to understand what Hebrews is when we think of it as a sermon, and also what sermons are meant to be in general. Now, I think most of us here know what a good sermon should sound like. It should be, you know, biblically based. It shouldn't be the preacher's opinion. And it should have some point of application. So it's not just giving a lecture, just information, but there should be some application, something that you have to do after with those things that you've just learned in the sermon. And yet, we know that many modern churches today don't follow this pattern. They don't do church this way. They don't do preaching this way. What passes for a sermon in many churches is simply meant to make people feel good about themselves, and that's about it. And they just keep coming back to have their ears scratched. Now, I found this good definition of an exhortation and a sermon, really. And I've got it there on your outline there because I thought it was quite helpful. It says, an exhortation is the development of a doctrinal principle with an exposition of its application and a challenge to the life of the believer. It is a challenge from God to each individual to live your life consistently with the things that you say you believe. I think this is a good summation of the underlying pattern of the book of Hebrews. Now, it's not the main theme, but I think it underlies the main theme, which we'll get to in the next message in this series. Hebrews follows the pattern of an exhortational, expositional sermon, and it was perhaps transcribed from an original sermon and turned into a letter so it could be read to different, you know, different churches, you know, different groups of people. Now, since we cannot be sure who the author is, we also cannot be sure of the time this letter was written. However, we do have some clues, and in short, we can place the writing of the letter at around 65 AD. Now, you'll probably read different things about the timing of the book of Hebrews when it was written. 65 AD is probably a good, you know, good time to have in your mind. What we can know for sure is that it was written before 70 AD, almost certainly, since Hebrews is written as though the sacrifices of the temple are still happening. So at 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and so sacrifices, you know, ceased. So when you read Hebrews, it's like they're still happening currently. Okay, so the temple still has to be there. So we know it was written before that, before 70 AD. Hebrews 13:23 implies that Timothy was imprisoned with the author and is about to be freed. We read that before, that Timothy is actually imprisoned. Now, if Paul is in fact the author, this fits with his request in 2 Timothy to come to him in prison before winter, during which time Timothy may have been imprisoned with Paul. So it kind of makes sense if you think about it, that, you know, Timothy came at Paul's request to Rome and was imprisoned when he came, and so was imprisoned with Paul. And so if Paul is in fact the author of Hebrews, he mentions that in chapter 13, that Timothy is about to be set free, but he's the author isn't. Okay, so that gives us a bit of timing as well. So Timothy is around. So, you know, there's some clues there that it may have been around 65 AD. Now we know, another thing we know is that Paul died around 67 AD. So it was obviously had to be, well, if Paul was the author, it had to be before that, before 67 as well. So 65 kind of fits if you look at, you know, a few things as well. And again, keep that date in mind. Okay, I'm not just mentioning that date because it's an interesting date and, you know, it's good to know. But keep that in mind for next time when we look at the theme of the book of Hebrews. Okay. Now, it's amazing to think that this wonderful epistle was left anonymous by the author, especially seeing that it was written with such a high level of language and with such carefully constructed logic. It's amazing. You know, to me it doesn't make a lot of sense. you spend so much time, you know, put so much work into something, and it comes out so well, and then you just leave it without signing it. It amazes me. Now, some have theorized that if Paul was the author, he intentionally left his name out in order to not be a stumbling block to Jewish believers who may have been suspicious of him. Now, whatever the reason, I think that this shows that the author was more concerned with getting his message across than with self-promotion. The author purposely left his name out of the letter so that more people could be impacted by its message. So it could reach a larger audience, and that people wouldn't get so hung up on who wrote it and just be focusing on the message. Now, I think that's notable. And I think as Christians, we need to have this same mindset in our ministry to others. This mindset of not worrying so much about us and our name, but more concern for the people that we're ministering to, that they get it, that they benefit from our ministry. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 says, Lord Jesus Christ, teaching here, says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the principle that, you know, we shouldn't be out there for ourselves, to promote ourselves when we're doing ministry, or anything for that matter. The point is that we should be doing our ministry for the right reasons, to please God and to serve others, and not to be seen of men, as the Lord Jesus Christ puts it. We can very easily fall into the trap of trying to impress other people with the things that we do, to the detriment of our service for God. Now, we can't always remain anonymous like the author of the book of Hebrews, but we can make sure that our motivation is right. We can question ourselves. We can pray that God reveals our mind to us, and then go ahead and do that ministry. It shouldn't stop us from doing ministry, but we should check ourselves, have a bit of an attitude check when we're serving God. You know, other times, you know, we can perhaps fall into the trap of performing ministry or doing things only for what we get out of it, you know, to get something out of it for ourselves. So it's not entirely selfless, and so we need to check our motivation as well. Now, the Lord can still use our ministry to bless others, even though our motivation is not perfect. And look, we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, looking back, it often isn't. And the Lord still uses it, but we can miss out on the real blessing. The risk for us may be that our works become wood, hay and stubble at the Bema Seat Judgment if we don't check our motivation. Now, as we think about ministry this year, you know, we're starting on a new year. There's ministry opportunities ahead of us, lots of things to do. We ought to keep this principle in mind at all times. Make sure that we're doing it for the right reason, that pride isn't a factor, and we're doing it to serve the Lord and not to serve ourselves. So that's just the first introductory message into this series. Next time, we'll look at the major themes of the book of Hebrews. And what I want to do next time is I want to kind of cover it in one message, just look at a kind of an overview of the book of Hebrews And so that's for next time. Let's pray.